coronavirus, are the Olympics in trouble? I'm Bart Necker. State health officials identified the first person who has tested positive for the coronavirus in Oregon during a Friday evening announcement. Medical correspondent Dr. Sanjay Gupta has information on the person diagnosed with coronavirus who didn't travel outside the state but worked at a school.
They got the infection out in the community. That means they got it from somebody else who doesn't know that they have the infection. First point. And then this person, while carrying the virus, spends time with other people, including at this elementary school. That's a concern.
There is a concern about the effect of the coronavirus outbreak and having on U.S. Olympic and Paralympic athletes preparing for the upcoming summer games in Japan.
The USOPC is keeping tabs on where the athletes are training, what training events have been moved, postponed, or even canceled, especially as qualifying for Olympic events are gearing up and as travel plans are being arranged. Right now, it's just about knowing what's going on and keeping up to date with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, as well as Homeland Security, on any developments on the virus's spread and how best to avoid it. And this isn't new for the Federation. 4 years ago, as the Rio Games drew near, new protocols and equipment for testing in response because of the Zika outbreak were developed. I'm Jim Roop.
At a rally in Charleston, South Carolina, President Trump had some harsh words about the coronavirus outbreak for Senate Minority Leader and New York Democrat Chuck Schumer.
They keep talking about the virus. Oh, the virus. Is Trump doing a good job? Oh, I don't think so. Gee, I don't think so. Chucky Schumer. No, I don't think he's doing a good job. This guy doesn't know he's alive. Oh, what bad people.
The House has approved a bill to ban the sale of flavored e-cigarettes and other flavored tobacco products. I'm Bart Necker.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Attention! If you've had hernia surgery and have experienced complications such as chronic pain, infection, wound reopening, mesh migration, bowel obstruction, need revision surgery, or other complications, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation. Hernia repair surgery is common and requires a mesh product to be implanted inside your body. In May of 2016, the manufacturer of a popular hernia mesh product issued a mandatory global recall due to product defects. If you've had hernia surgery and have experienced complications, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation. Call the Hernia Mesh Helpline now at 800-245-5187. Our experienced attorneys will fight to get you the compensation you deserve. You pay nothing unless we get a recovery in your favor. Time is limited to file a claim, so call the Hernia Mesh Helpline now, 800-245-5187. Operators are standing by 24/7. Call 800-245-5187. That's 800-245-5187.
A runaway ambulance stolen by a wanted suspect wound its way Friday through busy streets in Philadelphia. Jeff McKay reports the chase may have been slow, but it did a lot of damage on the streets of the city of brotherly love.
Philadelphia police chased at slow speeds a stolen ambulance through downtown and northeast Philadelphia, and at one point, driving into oncoming traffic and crashing into cars along the way. He was cornered by about 8 police cars before pushing his way through, and then he was tailed by a police tow truck until that tow truck tried to cut in front of the ambulance, only to be shoved onto a center median. Philadelphia's finest finally cornered the stolen ambulance on a residential street, arresting the ambulance thief shirtless and only wearing a pair of shorts, ending a violent, slow-speed chase that lasted over 90 minutes. I'm Jeff McKay.
U.S. regulators propose fining the 4 major U.S. phone companies more than $200 million for improperly disclosing customers' real-time locations. I'm Bart Necker.
Do you have concerns about mild memory loss related to aging? And have you thought about taking a supplement to improve your memory, but would like to hear from a pharmacist first? Now there is good news. Prevagen is the number one pharmacist-recommended memory support brand, so you can safely take care of yourself with confidence. Prevagen. Healthier brain, better life. 2019 Pharmacy Times Survey. Statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
I'm Chris Riccobono, founder of Untuckit. I started Untuckit because, like a lot of other guys, I just couldn't find a shirt that looked great untucked. That's why we created the perfect untucked shirt with that just right length. We have over 50 fits for all shapes and sizes, so you can look sharp even at your most casual. Try the original untucked shirt at one of 85 Untuckit stores worldwide or at Untuckit.com. Untuckit, shirts designed to be worn untucked.
Use promo code RADIO for 20% off your first purchase. Where Washington's power players come to talk.
Hello, Mr. Vice President. Mike Pence is here. Thank you, sir.
Oh, thank you.
And listen.
I listen every morning as I drive to the office.
WMAL.
Secretary of Housing and Urban Development and a good friend of the program, Dr. Ben Carson.
Always a pleasure to be with you.
Senator Tom Cotton.
Thanks very much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Kellyanne Conway.
It's great to be with you.
Well, thank you for being here
on 105.9 FM.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
It's good to join you.
Washington's Mall. WMAL.
WMAL traffic. I'm Michelle Murray. Couple of issues in Maryland right now. There is an accident northbound on 95 after 198 in Laurel. All lanes are blocked due to an accident, though traffic is squeezed by on the right shoulder. No problems to report if you want to take the BW Parkway as your alternate. Now, there's another accident reported now in College Park on the Interloop just before the 95 interchange. Two right lanes reported to be blocked there, so stay to your left and use caution.
Do you have concerns about mild memory loss related to aging? And have you thought about taking a supplement to improve your memory, but would like to hear from a pharmacist first? Now there is good news. Prevagen is the number one pharmacist-recommended memory support brand, so you can safely take care of yourself with confidence. Prevagen. Healthier brain, better life. 2019 Pharmacy Times survey. Statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Pop quiz. If you sell a home for $500,000, how much would a traditional real estate agent charge in commission? If you guessed $25,000 to $30,000, you're right. But if you think that's the only way, you're wrong. This is why thousands of homeowners are making the switch to Rex. With Rex, you get a dedicated agent and a full-service experience at a fraction of the cost. Rex uses game-changing technology to cut out the middleman and save homeowners tens of thousands of dollars in fees. See if you qualify by calling 833-REX-HOME. Remember, this is your home. Why give an insane amount of equity away to an agent? Rex offers the lowest fee in the industry without skimping on service. You'll work with an experienced real estate team with you every step of the way. Get the most out of your home. See if you qualify by calling 833-REX-HOME. 833-REX-HOME.
REO 2002-00541.
Minimum fee may apply. Not licensed in all 50 states. Visit rexhomes.com to see if Rex is available in your area. Rex fully supports the principles of the Fair Housing Act and Equal Opportunity Act.
There's a chill in your bones. Your furnace is in danger of breakdown when you least expect it.
Thanks for coming so fast. Something's wrong with my furnace.
Michael & Son's 21-point tune-up will make your furnace blow stronger and warmer, and it's just $59.
$59? Sounds impossible.
It's what we do, ma'am. We do furnace tune-ups the right way.
Get your $59 furnace tune-up from Michael & Son.
If you can, we can. Michael & Son.
We've always had villains to face.
Bad guys to take down.
But you?
You're worse than all of them put together.
You are the most horrible of all.
Pure evil.
Just because you're tough doesn't mean we can't beat you.
We're not here because we have to be.
We are here because we've had enough of you.
We all have the power to do something.
To change something.
To stand up to cancer.
Every single one of us is mortal.
Even me.
Even me.
But inside of us,
we are all heroes.
One person is not a team.
But when we join together.
Together.
You don't stand a chance.
We are glorious.
We're resilient.
We are powerful.
And we will win.
So stand up with us.
Stand up to fight. Stand up to win.
Visit standuptocancer.org to learn more.
You've made the commitment to look and feel better. So if you have painful, heavy legs or unsightly varicose or spider veins, now is the time to call Virginia Vein Care. Their doctors are vein specialists, and at Virginia Vein Care, your consultation will be with one of the physicians. Virginia Vein Care offers leading-edge technology, and insurance covers most procedures. No time off work needed. Stop living with achy or tired legs and call 703-506-VEIN. That's 703-506-VEIN or virginiaveincare.com.
Now, the Saturday Morning Update.
105.9 FM, WMAL.
Good morning, it is the Saturday Morning Update. I'm Rick Fowler, Jeff Wolf behind the console, Jane Houghton producing this morning. And we're going to try and get a grip on things this morning. The media is going over the top on coronavirus coverage, and I'll give you the reason in a minute or so that I say that. But the media has panicked the markets. We saw what happened with the markets over the week. There's news that's not being reported the way it should be reported. The first thing that I want to get to, and I think it's probably the most important thing to discuss this morning, and it's only one paragraph. I went to the Harvard Medical School health website. Okay, this is Harvard Medical School's health website. Ready? How deadly is this coronavirus? We don't know yet. However, signs suggest that many people may have had mild cases of the virus and recovered without special treatment. Very early in this epidemic, it looks like about 20% of cases were severe. People developed acute respiratory distress syndrome, which can be a problem, to paraphrase. But this is the most important point. As of February 25th, the reported confirmed cases and deaths in China suggest the mortality rate is roughly 3%. That would indicate to me that 97% of the people that would even get coronavirus will recover. It's not as though everybody that gets the coronavirus is going to die. The mortality rate from coronavirus so far reported in China is roughly 3%. Recovery time varies, and for people who are not severely ill, may be similar to the aftermath of a flu-like illness. People with mild symptoms may recover within a few days. People who have pneumonia may take longer to recover, days to weeks. In the cases of severe life-threatening illness, it may take months for a person to recover, or the person may die in cases of severe life-threatening illness. Now, something else that I heard in one report this week is that the coronavirus can be more harmful and a more serious case if the patient already has some form of illness. If there is a weakened immune system, the coronavirus can be a lot more severe. So if you're in good health and the mortality rate is roughly 3%, from a virus that I believe is under a half dozen cases reported in the United States, maybe we need to get a grip on all of this and calm down a little bit. The panic that has set in has been fueled by the media. It's been fueled by the Democratic Party, the leadership of the Democratic Party, fueling the fears around the country. You just got to calm down, folks, a little bit. Just calm down. It's obviously a serious thing that needs to be dealt with, but it's not as though we're all going to die. So let's calm down. Some of the things that are taking place around the country, people freaking out, people aren't talking to other people, they won't go around to other people anywhere. Just let's calm down a little bit. 6:14, it is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. Let's get a check of the traffic and weather. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
A couple of problems in Maryland right now on the inner loop of the Beltway just before the 95 interchange in College Park. All lanes reported to be blocked due to an accident, and also all lanes still blocked northbound on 95 after 198 in Laurel. Right shoulder squeezing by, but you will want to avoid this area for now. Good alternate might be the BW Parkway with no incidents reported from the Beltway heading towards Greenbelt and heading in towards Fort Meade. Elsewhere, no issues reported in Virginia so far. 95 looks good headed from Dale City in towards Springfield. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
We still have a chilly weekend shaping up here in the Washington area, at least for today. We'll only get up to 40. Tomorrow looks better. Sunshine with a high of 51. For Monday, 65 for the high, 66 on Tuesday, and 60 degrees on Wednesday. A little chance of rain Tuesday and Wednesday. Right now in D.C., though, it is chilly. It's 32 in town, heading to 40 this afternoon. 6:14, Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall. WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. The president has announced a task force. We're going to talk with John Gizzi about that a bit later on this morning. We've got a lot of angles on the story and the coronavirus and everything. But just to give you a quick example of what the Democrats have done this week, we've got a couple of cuts here from Nancy Pelosi. And first off, this is Nancy. Listen to how she says this.
I do think that if it is true, and I don't know if it is, that they're saying unless you have an approval of the Oval Office, no scientist can make any statements about this, is not encouraging.
I don't know if it's true, but if it is, what kind of talk is that from the leader of the House of Representatives when the country is facing this medical crisis, and she's saying stuff like that? Now, to counter that, there is a Democratic congressman from California. His name is Mark Takano. Well, he was in the hearing yesterday with Dr. Anthony Fauci and others because the Congress obviously is grilling them about what the administration's doing. Well, here's what he had to say about whether the scientists were being muzzled. Again, this is a Democratic California congressman when they came out of the session.
Dr. Fauci was very pointed in saying, I've not been muzzled. I've not been muzzled. And I took that to mean he can still speak his mind, and I'm relieved.
Well, there's a congressman that's got a head on his shoulders. He said he was relieved. He didn't stir it all up like Nancy. How irresponsible is that for the Speaker of the House of Representatives? Here's Mick Mulvaney. He puts it in perspective. Mick Mulvaney speaking yesterday at CPAC.
The press was covering their hoax of the day because they thought it would bring down the president. I got a note today from a reporter saying, what are you going to do today to calm the markets? And I'm like, really, what I might do today to calm the markets is tell the people to turn their televisions off for 24 hours.
Well, there you go. And if you didn't notice, the market recovered yesterday afternoon, at least to the extent of about 700 points. It came back yesterday afternoon after it was down nearly 1,000 during the day. There was a market recovery in the afternoon. Did you hear about that? Have you heard about that on the news? No. All you see, as I saw in the 5 o'clock CNN feed, was virus fears sink global markets. That was emblazoned across the screen on CNN. Virus fears sink global markets. Hey, ours came back 700 points yesterday afternoon, so calm down, everybody. Calm down. We got a lot to cover. We're going to go live down to South Carolina because there is a Democratic primary today. Bob Constantini is down there for us. We'll get to him at 6:35, so we're going to change it up. We'll get to Jennifer Harper next.
What do you think it means to be a guardian?
I think that being a guardian means that you love and care for them, but also accept them.
Someone who's always got your back.
A person you can rely on regardless.
My guardian was always my mother and my father.
My guardian is my teacher.
My guardian is my mommy.
For over 150 years, Guardian has helped people look after what they love most, because everyone deserves a guardian. Visit guardianlife.com to explore your options. Guardian is a registered trademark of the Guardian Life Insurance Company of America.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Attention! If you've had hernia surgery and have experienced complications such as chronic pain, infection, wound reopening, mesh migration, bowel obstruction, need revision surgery, or other complications, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation. Hernia repair surgery is common and requires a mesh product to be implanted inside your body. In May of 2016, the manufacturer of a popular hernia mesh product issued a mandatory global recall due to product defects. If you've had hernia surgery and have experienced complications, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation. Call the Hernia Mesh Helpline now at 800-245-5187. Our experienced attorneys will fight to get you the compensation you deserve. You pay nothing unless we get a recovery in your favor. Time is limited to file a claim, so call the Hernia Mesh Helpline now, 800-245-5187. Operators are standing by 24/7. Call 800-245-5187. That's 800-245-5187.
Saturday morning update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. Jennifer Harper joins us each week, and it's always great to get her perspectives on how the media is reacting to the big news stories of the day, how the public is reacting. And just when we thought
The South Carolina primary would be the biggest story of the weekend. Oh, no, it's the coronavirus. So is it a pandemic or is it just a panic?
Well, it's all of the above, Rick. This is just another one of these very complicated situations. And certainly the news media is not helping very much because for the past, oh, I'd say 7 to 10 days, the news media has been just completely poised for panic and fear and alarm, and they've got a lot of adjectives working for them. And, of course, they also have agenda working for them and some inevitable Trump bashing going on. And it's interesting to note that our talk radio friends Rush Limbaugh and also Fox News primetime host Laura Ingraham have both complained that the Democratic Party and the hostile news media has already weaponized the coronavirus and aimed it right at President Trump. And, you know, for example, Laura Ingraham said the Democrats and their media cronies have decided to weaponize fear and also weaponize suffering to improve their chances against Trump in November. And that's, again, coming from Laura Ingraham, a very succinct kind of description there. And there were lots and lots of headlines that were not very kind to the White House and President Trump. And if you're following that that trajectory of what the White House is actually doing, I mean, they've already set aside $2.5 billion, and they have a very competent task force in place, headed up by Vice President Pence, and they are launching the effort. They're good to go. But, you know, you got to wonder, with all the crazy media and so forth, what's the real remedy here? And I found some advice from some psychologists, and this is directed at the public, and here's what they say. According to psychologists, coronavirus-related anxiety is an understandable response to the unknown, but some people are especially vulnerable to cope. They recommend limiting media exposure to the topic and sticking to one or two trusted sources. That's very common sense advice, but it's good advice, and it was cited by Business Insider. And a clinical psychologist named Julie Pike, this is what she had to say to them. Watching coverage that repeatedly emphasizes both the rapid spread of coronavirus and lack of effective treatment is fuel for the anxiety fire. The best thing we can do is to make sure to wash our hands and protect ourselves as we would with any other virus. So interesting, the media got a little blame for it too.
We spent a lot of time on the political polls and kind of attitudinal polls about life in the U.S., but what is the public saying about coronavirus and the government?
Well, this is coming from two separate polls, and both of them are significant. And I'll just read you some of the headlines. This one is coming from Ipsos, and that is a global pollster. They are the big deal. And they have revealed in a new poll that was actually released yesterday, protection at any cost. Americans overwhelmingly support containment measures like a federal quarantine on large cities like New York, Chicago, or San Francisco if the coronavirus is found there. 80% agreed with that. That's pretty hard line for the general public. And already half of Americans believe it is likely that the coronavirus will become a full-blown crisis in the United States. And another 74%, three-quarters of Americans are now very concerned about the impact of the coronavirus on the U.S. with concern about their wallet. They're worried about their wallet. So, you know, if you're afraid to look at your 401k plan right now, which I am, don't look at it, I guess. But anyway, on to another poll then. Economist YouGov poll also found that a very hefty majority of U.S. voters, that's 70%, say that the U.S. government should quarantine people in the United States who have recently been to China. That's across the board. Even 77% of Republicans and 64% of Democrats agree with that. And also, 53% overall say the government should deny entry to any, quote, foreigner, unquote, who has been diagnosed with coronavirus. So across the board, the public is saying take a hard line on this. Let's not fool around.
You know, we saw the presidential candidates in Iowa, and as they campaigned at the state fair, and they had to eat a lot of really kind of bizarre things that the you know, public eats when they go to state fairs. A lot of fried things that I don't come across too much here in this area. Mike Bloomberg was not campaigning in Iowa, and he has a different approach when it comes to cuisine.
Oh, my gosh, yes. It's beginning to be a lot of fun to read what Bloomberg is up to on the campaign trail, because he's just throwing the money all over everything. In fact, if you haven't been tracking this, Bloomberg, Michael Bloomberg, in the past couple weeks, just like 2 to 3 weeks, has spent $418 million on his campaign blitz. But that's not the only thing he's got going. Mr. Bloomberg is now treating voters and also anybody that's curious about his campaign and some of his volunteers to gourmet food. And I mean gourmet food. And this is coming from Eater.com. That's a very interesting food blog if you're ever in the mood for that. And here's what they say. If you feed them, will they vote? And Mike Bloomberg is actually enticing voters with unprecedented amount of free food and booze, and not the cheap stuff either. Again, this is coming from Eater.com, so it's not the whole stale bagels, cold pizza thing. He puts out a kingly spread of food that includes gourmet quiche, beautifully prepared smoked salmon arrayed with thin lemon wedges, capers and chopped eggs, fresh fruit platters tastefully arranged, and upscale cookies, luscious pastries, all that kind of stuff. And so they're wondering if the way to the voter's heart is through their stomach, you know. And even when Bloomberg was out there campaigning in Queens, New York, very sly here, he went to all the local restaurants and had them cater all these voter events to appeal to everyone. I mean, everything from a country bakery to a million different pizza places and so forth. But anyway, Jennifer Blatis, she is the New York communications director for Bloomberg, said that we're able to cater to each individual group. That's what she said. And I talked to a Republican strategist I know who asked not to be, who wants to remain anonymous. He says Bloomberg is just buying them with food. So that's what's up with Mr. Bloomberg. But there's a part two on all of this because it's a meatball addendum. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but Michael Bloomberg and his campaign have shared a recipe for Mike's meatballs. I don't know what the thinking is here, but it's classic meatballs with all the, you know, all the stuff in it that a lot of people like to use. But they also, in the recipe, they superimposed Mr. Bloomberg's face on one of the meatballs. If you're curious about that, I featured that in Beltway. It was really crazy. And people are saying they're all wondering now whether a certain meatball looks presidential or not. But that's what's up in the Bloomberg campaign, all $418 million worth of it.
Can you imagine if Trump did that, catered events, there'd be another investigation?
Yes, indeed.
You know, every once in a while after the evening news, I'll end up watching a little bit of Jeopardy. Sometimes you'll see people from the local area. I think they had a really big winner on Jeopardy not that long ago from around here. But bottom line, I guess, is how do people in general feel about whether they would want to go on a TV game show? There's a poll for everything out there, isn't there?
Oh, good Lord, yes. Here comes some more of my early Saturday morning poll stuff. But this is actually a cool one. This is a Hollywood Reporter survey. It was conducted with Morning Consult, a very respectable pollster, and they asked people, would you be on a TV game show? And if you're curious, 56% of Americans would be interested in appearing on a TV game show, and that includes 56% of Republicans and 59% of Democrats. And but they also got very specific about it. Once they pinned people down, they were not so anxious to go on that game show because only a third of them said that they would be comfortable appearing on one of the adventure competition shows in some exotic location, you know, like Survivor or something like that. Only a third would do that. And that includes 33% of Republicans and 32% of Democrats. And about a quarter, 25%, would appear on one of those physical challenge competition show. 27% of Republicans, 26% of Democrats agree with that. 16% overall, though, would appear on one of those tough talent competitions. That would be really scary in front of those celebrity judges. And 15% of Republicans said they would do that. But surprisingly, 20% of Democrats were agreeing they'd go on that show. And last but not least, 15% overall, this is the lowest rated of all, would appear on a dating competition, and that included 14% of Republicans and 17% of the more lovey-dovey Democrats. Again, that's coming from Hollywood Reporter, and that's who would be on these TV game shows.
You know, it's been a big week at CPAC at National Harbor, and it's going to be a big day today at CPAC.
Yeah, this is kind of the grand finale, and you're right, it's just been a really great week for CPAC. I mean, 20,000 people sold out. I mean, they can't keep people away from the doors, but today is the last day, but there's still plenty of things to watch. You know, certainly you can watch online, live. A lot of people don't know that, but if you go to conservative.org, that is the American Conservative Union, you can just see what's going on. Just click the little button right in front of you, and you can watch anything. And there are some significant things going on CPAC today that you might want to take a peek at. And certainly things get underway at about 7:30 in the morning, but 11:35 in the morning, Mark Levin and his wife, who's an attorney, Julie, they will be on. And not to give a plug of the Washington Times, but we do this every year. We have put together the straw poll and find out who's going to win or what's going to happen. And the result of that is going to be revealed at 2:25. But the one that you don't want to miss is at 3 o'clock p.m. sharp. That is when President Trump is kind of the grand finale for a very good week for CPAC. Again, that's 3 p.m. President Trump will be speaking. Again, if you want to watch it, C-SPAN certainly will have it. But conservative.org is the place to go.
Jennifer Harper, Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure, Rick.
Saturday morning update to WMAL. And next, we will go to South Carolina. Our Bob Costantini is down there, and we'll get the very latest on the South Carolina primary. That's next, right after a check of the news.
It's the weekend, and all you want to do is kick back, relax, and catch up on the news. But those gutters won't clean themselves. And somebody's got to mow the lawn and trim the hedges. For the times you can't sit still, there's the TuneIn app. Hear local stories from WMAL, national networks like Fox News Talk, and all your favorite podcasts for free. Go to your app store to download TuneIn and start listening. TuneIn.
Preparation for the coronavirus spreading around the world is speeding up. Federal health officials want to get the virus testing up and running in every state of the U.S. The Trump administration may invoke a 70-year-old law to guarantee a range of needed supplies. 2 days after the White House shifted gears from Trump's initial assurances of minimal fallout to a mobilization under Vice President Mike Pence, the administration's messaging is not completely seamless. The count of U.S. cases has grown. Two more passengers from the Diamond Princess cruise ship testing positive. Health officials in California, Oregon, and Washington State now confirming three patients had been infected by unknown means. Democratic presidential candidates facing a key month. Today is the South Carolina primary, and then, of course, it's Super Tuesday as voters go to the polls in 14 states and American Samoa. If one candidate can emerge from Super Tuesday with a significant lead in the delegate count, it would be very difficult for anyone to catch up. That same candidate racks up big victories the following 2 weeks. The race may be all but over. We'll get into detail with Bob Costantini coming up very shortly. He is on the ground in South Carolina this morning. The man who created Trader Joe's markets with a vision that college-educated but poorly paid young people would buy healthy foods if they could only afford them has died. Joe Columba's family says that he died yesterday at the age of 89. He had opened the first of his nautically themed markets in Pasadena, California in 1967, stocked it with granola, organic foods, and other items he bought directly from suppliers to hold down the prices. Trader Joe's now has more than 500 stores in over 40 states. 6:34, check of the traffic and weather, and Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center this morning.
Problems on the Beltway in College Park on the inner loop before the 95 interchange. All four lanes and the ramp to northbound 95 blocked with an accident. It is jam-packed from New Hampshire Avenue on the inner loop of the Beltway. Now northbound on 95 after 198, three left lanes still blocked with the accident. However, you can get by in the right lane, but you may want to consider the Baltimore-Washington Parkway instead. No issues on southbound 95. You should find all lanes open. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
For today, partly cloudy with a high of 40. Sunshine tomorrow, high 51. Mostly cloudy Monday, high 65. Morning showers Tuesday, high 66. And on Wednesday, we got showers with a high of 60. It's 32 in Washington right now, going to 40. And it's 6:35 on the Saturday morning update.
Hey, it's Chris Plant. Have you booked your suite for our 2020 Alaska Sea Cruise this summer? If not, you better hurry. because space is now limited for our group. And listen to this. We just added a very special, exclusive event, a private Juno whale watching quest and group dinner. I'm very excited. It's going to be amazing. So please join me and other like-minded travelers as we make new friends 7 days cruising breathtaking Alaska, beginning August 5th on Regent Seven Seas Luxurious All-Suite Mariner. Sailing on Regent, everything is included. Round-trip airfare, shore excursions, fine dining, all beverages including fine wines and spirits, Wi-Fi, and the in-suite minibar all included. Plus, a $500 per suite shipboard credit. What a deal. It'll be the trip of a lifetime on our 2020 Alaska Sea Cruise. To book, call the travel store at 800-777-6540. 800-777-6540. Online at chrisplantcruise.com.
Good morning. It is the Saturday Morning Update. I'm Rick Fowler. I'm glad you've joined us this morning. And it is great to be joined by Bob Costantini. He is in Columbia, South Carolina this morning. Bob, thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Rick. 54 pledged delegates at stake here in the South Carolina primary. With the polls set to open at 7 o'clock and close at 7 o'clock, the stakes are pretty high, obviously, for Joe Biden, as we've known for a long time. He was counting and has been counting on South Carolina to really launch his presidential bid significantly because of his popularity among African-American voters here. And the latest polls have him anywhere from 6 to 20% in the lead, usually over Bernie Sanders. But Tom Steyer is second in one poll that I saw where Biden was way ahead. So at this point, Joe Biden is expected to get perhaps a lion's share of those 54 pledged delegates here in South Carolina. Very important to give him some momentum leading into Super Tuesday, as the one person that maybe Democrats who don't want Bernie Sanders to be the nominee will turn to. So, Rick, I'll leave it with that right now.
Well, you mentioned momentum, and Bernie Sanders has had a lot of momentum recently. Does that momentum translate to the voter? In other words, how many voters want to kind of be with the winner? They may not feel that strongly about an individual, but when somebody is on a roll, they feel like they want to be with a winner.
Well, the thing with Bernie Sanders, as we've seen over the past 6 years, frankly, is that he has extremely strong support, very dedicated people toward his campaign. I was at one of his rallies yesterday, and these are people who have been with him ever since the 2016 campaign, before that even, you know, they believe in him absolutely. And that's what's, you know, serving him well in this Democratic primary process so far. And with him seemingly taking the national lead in the contest, you know, Super Tuesday could be a big day for him. And this is where the Biden campaign is hoping that with a win here and getting the media attention that that will garner, that he can be considered, Joe Biden can be considered the alternative to Bernie Sanders. You know, this is like what happened to the Republicans in 2016, where all you need is a plurality. Even if, you know, majority doesn't vote for you, you need a plurality of votes in a primary or caucus and what have you, and you can declare yourself the winner. That's what Bernie Sanders is able to do right now with the on the basis of there being so many other candidates. Obviously, Michael Bloomberg will be a factor on Super Tuesday, but the Biden campaign is counting on this win here to make Democrats think long and hard about whether, you know, whom to vote for if they don't want Bernie Sanders. I think that's the best way to put it, I guess.
So when it comes to votes, technology and tabulation have been big stories so far in the Democratic primaries. Polls open 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. today, so there's 12 hours, and they count them up. Tell us a little bit about the process in South Carolina versus what's happened in the past.
Well, this is straight-up voting, and what they tabulate, paper ballots via electronic machines here. You can also, there is no early voting, but you can vote absentee in person up until yesterday. So we don't know, it's hard to say how much, you know, voting has occurred already here. And it's an open primary. Rick, because they don't have a party primary, so Republicans can vote in the Democratic primary, and it seems as though the Republican leadership here in this state is trying to help give President Trump and the Trump campaign exactly what they want, and that is they are urging the Republicans who want to cause a bit of chaos, and they've even called it that, to vote for Bernie Sanders. Now, if that'll have a great impact, I can't say for sure. It's hard to tell whether, you know, how many Republicans will really be motivated to go vote today in the Democratic primary. But that's one potential aspect to the final vote count here. And again, I say Tom Steyer has been advertising a lot here, has been campaigning a lot, and he is the only other candidate who will be in South Carolina tonight. Joe Biden, of course, will be here in Columbia looking and expecting to claim a victory, and again, hoping it gives him, it catapults him to the top of the people who are not Bernie Sanders in the Democratic primary.
What sense do you get of Pete Buttigieg and his outreach to the African-American community? Because he has been weak in his appeal there.
I would say it's generally, from what I've seen of polls, and that's the best thing I can go on, local polls here, it has had a limited impact, I suppose. Elizabeth Warren also has campaigned somewhat here, and was looking for some help with the African American community. I'm not sure she's gotten very far with that. The endorsement of Jim Clyburn, the number three Democrat in the House of Representatives the other day, is always very key, coveted here in South Carolina, a well-respected African American leader who has known Joe Biden for a long time because they've been in Congress together for a long time. And worked on several major pieces of legislation. One would expect that has helped, that will help Joe Biden. But I'm not sure I'd seen any polling actually after that endorsement, which was on Wednesday.
Do you get any sense that the debate this week either changed any minds or has much of an impact? I mean, at points during the debate, it was just a complete food fight. Sanders and Bloomberg, to a certain extent, taking the incoming fire, and Joe Biden, you know, Joe Biden kind of got a pass when it came to incoming. Any effect do you see this weekend, or is that just something people seem to forget the 2 days later after they talk about it, and then it's over?
Well, Biden's performance in the debate was strong enough to earn him Clyburn's endorsement the next day. Now, it wouldn't be terribly surprising that Jim Clyburn wants Joe Biden to win the primary here. Frankly, I would have been surprised for anything else. But Clyburn had promised that he would wait until after that Tuesday night debate that was broadcast on CBS to make his endorsement. You talked to people around here. They were, you know, kind of fascinating how the debate went. They seem to blame the moderators as much as anything, and the fact that CBS decided to leave everybody's microphone open. And if you were Elizabeth Warren and Pete Buttigieg, and you're thinking that maybe this is your last chance to be on a big national stage before Super Tuesday, which is the case there, obviously, you want to interject. You want to get your opinion out no matter what, and that's what everybody seemed to be doing. In a very chaotic way. There were times it seems as though all seven of them were talking at once, Rick. But the debate was interesting in its own right, I guess, but I'm not sure it shed all that much light on differences between the candidates or where each candidate would take the country.
So President Trump holds a rally in South Carolina last night. He's been doing that the night before voting in the Democratic primaries so far. Obviously, it sucks up some of the oxygen in the media. What does it mean statewide? And, you know, it's kind of a tough question to ask you, but do you get a sense of what kind of an effect that may have overall on the momentum and enthusiasm of the primary, the Democratic primary, and the Democratic candidates?
Well, I don't suppose it'll have much impact, really. This is something the president is now doing, this shadowing of the Democratic primaries. He had one the night before, or a couple days before in Iowa, the night before in New Hampshire, and the night before in Las Vegas. Last night it was North Charleston. And for Super Tuesday, he's going to visit a state just north of here that is actually going to be, could prove crucial. He'll be in Charlotte, North Carolina, the night before the Super Tuesday primary, North Carolina being a major state. And obviously, with 14 states total on Super Tuesday, the president had to choose some place to go to try to interject himself in this. You know, what the president got yesterday in terms of responses from candidates, I was at a Bernie Sanders rally, and Sanders said that the president really should have been stayed in Washington and worried about the coronavirus instead of, and he used it as a chance to go after the president for trying to kill Obamacare and take people's health care away from reductions in Medicaid and things like that. I don't suppose it's going to have a huge impact on this. It's just the president trying to make sure that he gets media attention in the state that in November, come November, he should win quite handily anyway, Rick.
Super Tuesday is coming up, and a huge number of delegates will be at stake for the Democratic candidates. As you go into Super Tuesday, your assessment of how Mayor Bloomberg has done in picking up support, coming in late and spending millions and hundreds of millions of dollars.
Well, it's counted so much on Super Tuesday, but I think, unfortunately, for his him with his debate performances, I think maybe he's going to lose a significant amount of momentum in this. He is, again, some people may see him with the money he's spending, of course. Anyway, some people may see him as the person who can take on Donald Trump. The president is certainly worried about Bloomberg for a while there, at least, and he goes on, and last night he called him Mini Mike, which is the name that he gives him at the rallies. So I just don't see where there's going to be this huge groundswell of sudden enthusiasm for Bloomberg owing to how he has performed. He had a bad debate performance by all measures, it seems, in the Nevada debate. And Tuesday night, he got slightly better marks, but he still just doesn't seem to be able to, express himself in a way. And of course, he's been put on the defensive over the women issues, women workers for his company. But I would, if I had to predict, and it's hard to predict when you're talking about 14 states, but if I had to predict, I would say Super Tuesday will be an okay day maybe for Mike Bloomberg. He has the money to live on if he wants to. But he also has Bernie Sanders saying that if Sanders wins the nomination or takes a big lead, he's not going to accept any kind of help from Mike Bloomberg. But look, it's hard to predict, but I just don't necessarily see in the nationwide polls that there's suddenly going to be a groundswell for Michael Bloomberg.
Bernie Sanders seems to have his own lane to a certain extent. And then when you get into the moderates, you have Amy Klobuchar, who had a good debate and started to pick up some momentum. You've got Bloomberg, who's in the center. You've got Biden, who's basically in the center. So you've got three strong center candidates, Warren somewhere kind of in between the Bernie lane and the centrist lane, and then Steyer somewhere in there, too. What role does that split in the center between Biden and Bloomberg and Klobuchar and the others? In other words, they're splitting up that vote, whereas Bernie kind of has a free pass in the express lane.
Well, yes. Again, it's like the Republicans had in 2016, where there were, clear majorities of Republican voters who didn't want Donald Trump to be the nominee. But eventually, as people fell by the wayside, Trump was able to claim victory in so many places that it became inevitable for his candidacy. Ted Cruz was the last one standing to try to go against him, and Indiana was the last thing when Cruz got out of the race. So there is the potential that we could see the same scenario. There's no question about it for Bernie Sanders because, as you point out, as you mentioned, the names you mentioned, a whole bunch of people are splitting what could be described as the anti-Sanders vote. And that's, look, if you're Amy Klobuchar, do you continue on? If you're Elizabeth Warren, if you lose your home state of Massachusetts, do you continue on with this? Pete Buttigieg, also kind of the same. If you're, you know, polling in the middle of the pack on the national polls, and eventually, as I say, the idea for the Biden campaign is to live another day and do well on Super Tuesday as the consensus kind of choice among Democrats who don't want Bernie Sanders to be the nominee.
Last quick question. Are you getting the sense that any of these candidates may be dropping out anytime soon? And I know that's hard to predict.
They won't tell you.
Right.
They're not going to tell you that much either. But after Super Tuesday, I think the field will clear a little bit. Again, you point out Amy Klobuchar has a had a good debate performance on Tuesday, gotten high marks. Does that translate? And it doesn't seem to be translating into a major swell of support for her. We'll see about Bloomberg and Buttigieg and Warren and Steyer, whether they're going to stay in this, which one of them may decide to throw in the towel after Super Tuesday if he or she doesn't have a good day.
Bob Costantini on the ground for us this morning in Columbia, South Carolina. Bob, thank you so much.
All right, Rick. Take
Appreciate
care. Thank you.
You bet. 6:52 now, Saturday morning update to WMAL, and great to get his perspectives from on the ground in SC this morning. Time for a check of the traffic and weather. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
On the inner loop of the Beltway in College Park, prior to exit 2795, we've got all four traffic lanes closed due to this accident and the ramp to northbound 95 closed as well. Traffic is jammed on the inner loop from New Hampshire Avenue. Still the incident working northbound on 95 in Laurel, and this is just past 198, exit 33. Right now, we still have a couple of lanes blocked due to this accident. Right now, it looks like the two left lanes are blocked with this incident. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
It does look cloudy today with a high of 40. Sunshine tomorrow, high 51. Springtime Monday will be up to 65 on Monday. 66 Tuesday with some rain in the picture for Tuesday and Wednesday. In the 60s once again on Wednesday. In Washington right now, 32 heading to 40. And it's 6:53, Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It is the Saturday morning update, WMAL. Coming up on the program, we'll check in with John Gizzi, White House correspondent at Newsmax.com. He was at the White House for the President's press conference on Wednesday, also there for the press conference with Alex Azar yesterday. So we'll get the very latest on the administration and coronavirus coming up from John Gizzi. Then we'll talk with Cheryl Atkinson, try and put it all in perspective. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer will join us. He's been at CPAC this week. We'll get his reaction to what's going on at CPAC. And we'll be talking with KT McFarland as well this morning. And KT has been on Fox a lot. She's been on WMAL this week and just some fascinating reflections on her time at the White House, what happened to her with the Mueller investigation. We'll be talking to KT coming up in the 7 o'clock hour as well.
What will the coronavirus do to the local real estate economy? Hi, I'm Eric Stewart, the host of the Eric Stewart Real Estate Shows here on WMAL every Sunday at 8 a.m. for the past 15 years. And this Sunday, I'll discuss with you the impact of the virus on us because of what is happening overseas and how we will get through it together and how it will affect our housing market locally. You won't want to miss the show. Got questions in the meantime? Go to ericstewartgroup.com. Otherwise, I'll see you Sunday morning, 8 o'clock, right here on WMAL.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m. The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Every weekend, host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools for finding the right mortgage product to fit your needs. So tune in to WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding here on WMAL.
Find your next vacation at the Travel and Adventure Show. Discover thousands of vacation options and meet Paul Thoreau. 2 days only, March 7th and 8th, at the Washington Convention Center. Buy discounted tickets now at travelshows.com. That's travelshows.com.
If you're one of the millions of Americans who owes back taxes, if you get nervous when the mail comes because you might get a letter from the IRS, then you've heard. Their enforcement agents are cracking down this year and can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts. Even your home or business could be at risk over unpaid taxes. It's all true, but it's also true there's a way out. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative, an important government program for tax debt assistance. The award-winning experts at Optima Tax Relief will fight to get you the best deal possible, protecting your paycheck and your assets from IRS collections. But don't delay, because the IRS is tacking on interest and hefty penalties every single day. So don't wait until it's too late. Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-908-1755. That's 800-908-1755. 800-908-1755.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Successful companies know that in order to grow faster, you must have the right tools. Whether you're doing a million, 10 million, or hundreds of millions in revenue, NetSuite by Oracle gives you the tools you need to accelerate your growth. With NetSuite, you get a full picture of your business: finance, inventory, HR, customers, and more. It's everything you need to grow, all in one place, right from your phone or computer. NetSuite will give you the visibility and control you need to make the right decisions and grow with confidence. That's why NetSuite customers grow faster than the S&P 500. NetSuite is the world's number one cloud business system, trusted by more than 19,000 companies. It's the last system you'll ever need. NetSuite. Business grows here. Schedule your free product tour right now and receive your free guide, 7 Key Strategies to Grow Your Profits, at netsuite.com/patriot. That's netsuite.com/patriot. netsuite.com/patriot.
Saturday morning update on WMAL, the election of 2020, well underway, and the political jockeying when it comes to the coronavirus. Some of the comments out of Democratic leadership, personally, in my opinion, I find to be somewhat irresponsible when you are trying to unite the country. Well, of course, we're not trying to unite. Silly me. Why would we want to unite the country against the coronavirus and the fears and all kind of get together and hope that the markets don't go any further down? Why would we want to try not to overreact? That would make too much sense now, wouldn't it? It's comments like this from Chuck Schumer that probably didn't help the markets this week.
The administration has no plan to deal with the coronavirus. No plan. And seemingly no urgency to develop one.
No plan and no urgency. All right, Chuck, why don't you tell that to the folks at the CDC and all of the healthcare professionals and everybody else in the administration that has actually been working on this, Chuck? Here's Nancy Pelosi.
What he's doing is late, too late, anemic. Hopefully we can make up for the loss of time. But it'll have to have the professionals in place, the resources that are adequate, and not be giving, using scare tactics about people coming back to our country.
Not using scare tactics about people coming back to our country. She says some of the strangest things sometimes. Anyway, that's a sense of the politicization. And it's been going on all week, and that's just, 25 seconds of sound bites. They've been on it all week. That cannot help the markets. It cannot help how the American public feels. One quick note, we just had one more clip from President Trump. This is yesterday as he was leaving for the rally in South Carolina. He was on the lawn at the White House.
We're very well organized. We have great talent, great doctors, great. We haven't lost anybody yet, and hopefully we can keep that intact. There have been no deaths in the United States at all.
And one other thing I want to reiterate that I mentioned earlier this morning, and that is from the Harvard Medical School Health website. As of February 25th, the reported confirmed cases and deaths in China suggest the mortality rate is roughly 3%. So that would indicate to me that 97% of the people probably are going to recover if they do contract the coronavirus. And again, as has been pointed out in news reports, the coronavirus can hit somebody with a weakened immune system a lot harder than somebody else that may be in good health. So the panic that is setting in the media and across the globe and in social media, I mean, there was one other story we'll get to a little bit later on this morning about just how people are so completely overreacting. We'll get to that in a bit. But it is time now for the 7 o'clock news. Then we're back with John Gizzi, Cheryl Atkinson, Tony Schaefer, and KT McFarland.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. $1,000. Four chances for you each weekday. The $1,000 Fast Money keyword. WMAL, a Cumulus station.